Hey, welcome back to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name is Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And today we're doing things a little different. It's going to be another, how do I say, freeform.
Yes.
If we were a band, it would be like a jam.
This is the jam session.
It's a jam session. That's what we're doing.
We're like fish or the Grateful Dead tonight. We're just going to jam, man.
we're just going to jam, man.
See where it takes us. We're just...
We have a topic. Don't get me wrong. We have a topic. It's just it's not a list. It's not a countdown. We're just going to kind of talk about a topic that we think is kind of cool and interesting.
Yeah, we got to talking and we enjoy talking about, you know, songs that have the same title, but obviously are different songs. You know, you get quite a difference in some of the songs, even though they have the same title. So we thought that was kind of fun, and that's what we're going to do tonight.
So we're going to explore a little bit of that and have some fun along the way. So
right on. I want to jump in here and I want to do something fun.
Yeah, go for it, man.
And funky. And okay, let's talk about a song title, Lady. And let's start with the Commodores. 1981 album, In the Pocket, Commodores.
Yeah, dude, I'm glad you opened with the Commodores because of the songs with the title Lady, that's my favorite, hands
Bring
down.
Bring me up when I'm down. I mean, just so good, man. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Lionel Richie on vocals.
Yeah, the Commodores were such an amazing band. And, you know, we're of a certain age where, you know, I didn't really know who Lionel Richie was until he was a solo artist.
Right.
You know, that was my first exposure to him was as a solo artist. So I had no idea that these songs that I was hearing, you know, on my parents' car stereo, you know, in the back seat as a kid, I had no idea that was Lionel Richie singing that stuff.
No shit.
You know?
Yep.
So it really blew my mind when I made that connection. So I'm probably as a teenager or whatever that, holy shit, that the Hello Guy, he was the singer for the Commodores. Wait, like what?
Dancing on the ceiling, dude.
Yeah, man. So yeah, Lady, I mean, that's a great song. It's funky. It's fun. Like you said, that's one of those songs you can't help but kind of tap your foot and smile when it comes on, you know?
Absolutely.
It's a great jam.
Absolutely. And here's an odd connection because we're going to talk about another song titled Lady by Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Came out a year earlier. But guess who wrote and produced Lady by Kenny Rogers?
Was it the Dancing on the Ceiling guy?
None other than Lionel Richie.
That's cool, man.
So Lionel clearly enjoyed the word lady in his song titles. You know, three times a lady.
Yeah. Oh, my
another,
God.
Yeah.
Lionel loved the ladies.
Lionel did. Lionel was ladies, man.
Good for you, Lionel Richie.
But hey, who doesn't love Kenny Rogers? I mean, come on, Gambler.
Oh, I know, man.
That
come
voice.
On.
Yeah. Dude, that voice still gives me chills when I hear it.
Yeah, he's fantastic, man. And, you know, not a big country fan by any stretch. I mean, I make no secrets about that. But there's just certain people that kind of, I don't know, man. They cross over, you know, and they're just like, man, I'm not a big country guy, but man, Kenny Rogers is fucking cool, man.
Kenny Rogers kicks ass, man. Coward of the County. Are you kidding me?
Hell
man?
Yeah.
Some great shit.
And of course, you know, and he made movies and TV specials and just, oh, I remember too, as a kid, man, my mom loved Kenny Rogers.
Oh,
like,
dude, Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton. Come on.
Oh my God. Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we'll get back on topic. There's one more song titled Lady.
Yeah.
1973 by the band Styx.
73, dude, that blows my mind.
Yeah, right?
That song is that old?
I know, that feels weird, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
That's a great song too, man. Styx was great.
Yeah, Dennis DeYoung on vocals there.
Yeah. That's another band that, I don't know, I think I didn't appreciate them as much in my youth, but the older I get, the more, you know, I just go, wow, they were amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing players, you know, and the songwriting, yeah, I didn't appreciate so much as a kid, but now I'm like, God damn, that is some interesting and difficult shit.
Yeah.
They are all top-notch players, man.
Remember what a monster hit Too Much Time on My Hands was?
Oh, God.
Then Mr. Roboto, like, they were huge for a while. Yeah.
Too Much Time on My Hands, too. Amazing video.
Yep.
Oh, God, it's so cheesy. It's so great.
So cheesy.
Yeah, that was when, like, music videos were in their infancy, so they just, some crazy-ass director would have some wacky-ass idea.
And a pile of cocaine. Like, let's just make something. Just have fun here, guys.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah, wacky ideas and lots of cocaine. That was the early days of MTV, man. But that's a great video. If you don't know, if you've never seen it, go to YouTube right now and watch the video for Too Much Time on My Hands. It's nice. Fucking fantastic. So yeah, that's three pretty big ladies, but that sounds weird. Pretty big songs with the title Lady. Because, you know, in doing a little bit of research for this topic, I did discover a lot of songs that share the same title, but they weren't all hits.
Right.
You know, it's like a deeper cut and you're like, well, nobody really cares about that. So, I think focusing on the sort of bigger songs makes sense.
Right. And all three of these were monster hits.
Monster hits. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of monster hits, let's move on to the next one. One of my favorite artists of all time and one of the most covered artists as well. I mean, his songs have been redone so many times by so many different bands, this song included. But there's a song called Fire. It was by Jimi Hendrix, and also there was a song called Fire by the Ohio Players. Another funky, just fun. So yeah, Jimi Hendrix, his version of Fire was on the Are You Experienced album, came out in 1967. Again, man, it's Hendrix. What can you say that hasn't already been said?
And that song still sounds fresh when you hear it.
It really does. Yeah,
it does. It doesn't sound dated. That guitar riff, the bass riff, just fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a great track. I mean, that whole album is just, it's mind-blowing how good it is. But yeah, man, Fire by Jimi Hendrix. And of course, there's a lot of crossover here with our we like to do episodes about cover songs. And of course, the Chili Peppers have a fantastic version of Fire.
Absolutely.
But again, you know, like we say when we talk about the covers, you know, when we do episodes on that, a great song is a great song, and you know it could be covered 100 times, and if it's a banger, it's just always going to be a banger. So I mean, Hendrix's version is amazing. Chili Peppers' version is amazing, and then the Ohio Players, man, talk about just cool funk. Came out a few years later. It was from the 1974 album Fire. Another just banger of a track, man.
Groovy, funky,
yeah.
Just number, I think that was the number one hit too. I mean, that's just,
did it make it to number one? I'm not surprised. That song was just fantastic, and it's been in movies and TV commercials, and it's just, you know, even if you don't think you know it, you know, the second you hear it, you're gonna go, oh yeah, fuck yeah, I know that song. It's a great track.
Well, I have to check this, but you mentioned the Chili Peppers,
yeah,
and I'm pretty sure when the Chili Peppers did Love Roller Coaster, that's an Ohio Player song.
It is. Look at you.
Ooh,
nice job, man. Dude, yeah,
wow, the brain still works.
Yeah, man, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That's another another fantastic cover. Chili Peppers always do great covers, man.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, hey, Eric.
Yeah.
You know what else is straight fire? Once Upon a Coconut. Here we go, brother.
Hell yeah, here we go.
Take a sip of that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Ooh, tonight I'm rocking a coconut water and blueberry, and it is fantastic. Eric, what do you got going?
I am doing the, and I can't believe it's taken us this long to talk about this, I'm doing the coconut and chocolate. Mm. It is the bomb, dude. I'm not a big chocoholic by any stretch. Chocolate enters this house and it's all Chris. I know not to mess with the chocolate. It's all her.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. The Once Upon a coconut and chocolate drink is fantastic. I hide it because it's now mine. It is my favorite thing in the world. I can't get enough of it. It's fantastic. So yeah, if you're a chocolate connoisseur, try the coconut and chocolate. It's the greatest thing ever.
It's like drinking dessert, but it's not bad for you in any way.
It is. And again, like we talk about the sugar and, you know, try to stay away from your sugar. And it's 110 calories for the entire can, which is nothing. Yeah. And it gives you that fix. If you're trying to watch calories, you're trying to watch sugar, but you want a chocolate fix, this is it right here. It's fantastic.
Awesome. Check it out at onceuponacoconut.com.
Love it.
Let's keep rolling on here. We're going to talk about a song here called Sun King.
Yeah.
Now, the Beatles had a version of Sun King from Abbey Road in 1969. It's a very sort of dreamy, floating John Lennon track.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd call it a deep cut, but maybe it's just not the most popular or most well-known track on Abbey Road.
Sure.
And then a band that we love and want the world to love just as much, The Cult.
Yeah.
They had a song called Sun King, 1989 of Sonic Temple, which is just again, one of our favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, and just so tragically underrated, dude. The Cult is one of the greatest rock and roll bands just ever, ever.
Oh, hands down.
They had all the bases covered. Ian Astbury, amazing frontman. Billy Duffy, killer guitar player. Always had the solid rhythm section. Just a killer, killer rock and roll band. So, just, yeah.
We love everything about The Cult, yeah. And I have to tell the story.
I thought this would probably work its way in, yeah.
Okay, so if you know the song Sun King, you know the chorus, Sun King, baby, right? So sometime back in the, I don't know, maybe late 90s.
Sounds about right, yeah.
We'll say that. We're in Boston for a night out. Night comes to an end, and we need to go, you know, get some snacks. So we go into a sort of convenience store in downtown Boston somewhere. I'm like maybe a good 10 feet away. I'm looking at some sort of snack, and all of a sudden I hear you. And I look, and you're holding a bag of Sun Chips, and you're singing, Sun Chips, baby. Nobody else in the place gets the joke. But the two of us are just dying. And if I remember correctly, it was a bag of Harvest Cheddar Sun Chips.
Most likely, yeah. Those were the bomb.
So now I can't see a bag of Sun Chips or eat Sun Chips or see a commercial about Sun Chips without seeing Eric in my head in some tiny little convenience store in downtown Boston at 4 a.m. looking over at me going, Sun Chips, baby.
Oh, my God. Good times, man. And I also, when I listen to Sonic Temple, when that song comes on, I can't sing the actual words in my head. It's still, it's Sun Chips. It's Sun Chips, baby. Every time he sings the chorus.
I know. I heard it the other day and I did the same thing. Oh,
God, that's too funny.
The song is forever ruined.
So stupid. Oh, my God. But yeah, that's the kind of shit that sticks with you, man. I don't know.
And I mean, nobody else in that store got the joke.
No. I'm sure that, you know, the other dregs of society that were in there at 4 a.m. were looking at us like, what are these idiots talking about? Why are they laughing?
Look at these two.
Sun Chips? What? Like, yeah. Both great songs too, though, man.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about two bands that I know we're both big fans of. Song is called Jailbreak.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of heavy hitters had songs called Jailbreak. First, let's talk about AC/DC. Big, big song for them. It was originally released on the Australian release of Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap in 1976. And then it was later released here in the United States in 1984. Great fucking track, though, man. Oh, my God.
Oh, I love this. You know, of course, the story, you know, a guy, you know, Bon Scott singing about a guy, a friend. There was a friend of mine on murder.
Yeah.
When the judge's gavel fell. That's telling a story about a friend of his trying to break out of jail. And it's just a great, great rock and roll track, man.
And then, of course, Thin Lizzy had a big hit with Jailbreak, 1976. Thin Lizzy's another one of those bands that's just so underrated. They're like a musician's band. Like, ask any, you know, rock musician. And Thin Lizzy, oh, man, everybody always, you know, freaks out. Just, they're so great and all this stuff. But the general public, for some reason, man, they had their moment in the sun, of course, but I don't feel like they're remembered enough, you know, for what they did and what they were. Such an amazing rock band. And Phil Lynott, the singer, was just the perfect rock star. He just had everything. He had the killer voice. He was also the bass player for the band. Great musician, amazing rock star, had the charisma, had the voice, just, oh, he was so good. I have a fun story about Phil Lynott. They're from Ireland. So went to Ireland some years ago on vacation. And, you know, normally we go on vacation. We've heard of me as the travel princess in my house. Mm. I don't make any of the plans. Chris is the planner. She figures out where we're going to go, what time we're going to get there, what flight we're going to take, everything. I just show up,
you know,
and look pretty.
That's the same scenario in my house, but I've yet to be called the travel princess.
Well,
it's coming.
From now on, you will be the travel princess from here on out. And it's okay, man. Dude, there's a lot of guys out there in the same, I learned it on Instagram. It's an actual thing is the travel princess. Yeah, there's a lot of us out there. So anyway, so very rarely do I chime in and, you know, request to do things when we go on vacation. I just let her plan everything. I show up and that's it. And I'm totally okay with that. Totally happy. So there's a statue of Phil Lynott in Dublin. And it's pretty pretty famous, you know, if you're a fan. That was the one thing I was like, hey guys, while we're here, I want to go find the statue. I want to see it. I want to take a picture with it. Big fan. Be great, right? Everybody's on board. Great. So we figured out, oh, you know, hey, Tuesday afternoon, whatever it was, we've got a few hours to kill. Let's go find the statue, you know, and Eric can get his picture with it. We finally find the square. According to my phone, I'm standing right next to the statue. I might be on top of it, and it's not there. And I'm looking around, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Does Google not work the same in Ireland? Like, what's going on here? So we start asking around, and apparently, shortly before we got there, a delivery truck backed over the statue and fucking broke it. So I go all the way to Ireland, and the one thing I wanted to do and see was in the shop for repairs because some idiot backed into it and knocked it over. But yeah, if you get to Dublin and you're a fan, go find the statue. Send me a picture of it because I never got one.
Just, yeah, hopefully it hasn't been run over by a truck when you get there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, hey, as long as we're in Ireland, let's stay there for a minute. We're going to talk about a song titled One.
That was not even intentional, by the way. That was a nice segue.
That was pretty good, right?
Well done.
I'm a professional.
You've done this before.
So the band U2 had a song called One, 1991, off of Achtung Baby, which was, of course, a big hit. Everybody knows that song. Great song by U2.
Oh, yeah.
But also Metallica, the song One, in 1988, off of Injustice for All, which that video, that song, I was late to the Metallica game. That was what got me on Metallica.
It was One,
the
no kidding.
The One video, and just the way it was done, it was so artistic, you know, with, you know, the movie clips, you know, shot in black and white. And of course, the song just kick-ass, you know, Lars doing the double bass.
Ah, the blast beat. It might have been like the first famous blast beat. Metallica, they were already big, but I mean, as far as like really crossing over to like mainstream, you know, radio play and people who didn't listen to metal were kind of getting on board because of that song. Yep. And
that video changed the game
big time.
But yeah, and again, the U2 song is just beautiful. A much, much different song.
Totally.
But again, two great songs, very different songs, same title.
Well, that brings us to another song, and I bet if we dug deeper, this next title, I bet we could find a lot more. But again, we're trying to stick to the hits, we're trying to stick to the recognizable. A song title like Jump. Let's talk about the biggies that everybody knows. Of course, Van Halen from the 1984 album, 1984. Jump was such a game changer for them. Sadly, it was kind of the beginning of the end of the David Lee Roth era of Van Halen. Eddie was really getting into keyboards at that point. Dave wasn't really feeling that, and it caused a lot of internal, you know, strife in the band. But it also gave them a huge, huge hit. I mean, Jump, you couldn't get away from
it. Oh, my God. It was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Dude, everywhere. I mean, that was the biggest song ever when it came out.
I mean, of that year, that's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest song of the year. I mean, it was, again, it was everywhere. It was on rock radio. It was on pop radio. I mean, it was probably on easy listening, for God's sake. It was everywhere.
That was their only number one hit.
Yeah, can you imagine that, dude? A band with that kind of career, that many albums, that many hits, it was their only number one.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's nuts. And then a few years later, 1992, a couple of youngins from Atlanta, Georgia, come out with their song called Jump. And I'm talking about Criss Cross. Remember them?
Yes.
Mac Daddy and Daddy Mac. I will say, with some pride, I was old enough where, you know, had that song come out 10 years earlier, I might have done this, but I never wore my clothes backwards. Mm. It was maybe a little bit. I was aged out.
Yeah, I'd aged out. But
yeah. But if that song came out when I was like 10, I probably would have gone to school with my pants on.
Right, not that I wasn't looking at it going, yeah, I would do that.
If I was a few years younger. Oh my God, but what a great song, man. Oh. They were what, 12, 13 years old when that came out? And that's another thing, dude. You want to feel old? I was doing a little bit of math earlier. Mm.
I hate math.
You're going to hate it even more when I tell you this. Criss Cross consisted of Chris Mac Daddy Kelly and then Chris Daddy Mac Smith. Unfortunately, Chris Kelly, the Mac Daddy, he passed away in 2013. But had he survived, they would be in their like mid-40s right now, dude.
Oh, man.
Dude, because in my head, they're still like 12 years old.
Right.
You know? And I'm like, oh my God, these cats are like in their 40s now.
I'm just going to say it, dude. Math sucks.
Math does suck.
It reveals the truth, and I hate it.
Yeah, it's no good. We are old, my friend. But yeah, big, big hit. Great song. Still stands up to this day.
Oh, so much fun.
And then the third jump that we're going to talk about is the Pointer Sisters.
Yes.
1983 jump, and then For My Love was the parentheses.
Sure.
Yeah, from 1983, song features June Pointer on lead vocals, and yeah, it was a big, big hit for them. I mean, they were already an established act with some hits under their belt, but my God, that song put them in a whole nother stratosphere that just kind of gave them a whole string of other hits. I mean, you know, they had top 10 hits, including Automatic, Fire. They had a Fire too.
Oh, here we go.
How about that?
Fun facts.
Fun facts. He's So Shy.
Yes.
From 1980. That's a great song, man. Yeah. Slow Hand, 1981. I'm So Excited, which still to this day, another great, great song. Still in like TV commercials and stuff like that. Yeah. Still used heavily. And Neutron Dance from 1985.
Beverly Hills Cop.
The opening sequence. He's hanging off the back of the truck,
yes,
dude.
Yes. If you haven't seen the new Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F.
I have not seen it.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
But there's a lot of callbacks to the first two.
Really?
Yeah, the first two. And they do a car chase with Neutron Dance.
Dude, that's amazing.
And I'm watching. I'm like, oh, yes, they brought back the Pointer Sisters.
That's great, man.
And you know what? I discovered who else has a version of Slow Hand. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Conway Twitty.
So wait, is it a version of that song or that he has a song
it's
also
a version
called?
Of that song. I think...
No I shit. Think, are you kidding me?
I'd have
me?
To look it up, but I think he covered the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Now I have homework. I got to hear that, dude. That's cool, man. Yeah. All right. Again, not a big country guy, but...
Y'all going to be checking out some Conway Twitty tonight, I'm telling you.
Hell yeah, tonight. Going to Twitty City.
All right. So we're going to take a kind of a hard left... from the Pointer Sisters here, and we're going to talk about songs titled Rock and Roll, starting with The Velvet Underground.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
1970, the album Loaded. Huge fan of The Underground and Lou Reed, but just a great, great, just a fun, interesting, weird song. It's just a lot of fun. It's just so raw.
Yeah.
So New York.
So New York. That's so funny. Yeah. I don't know if I would have thought to say that myself, but yeah, it really is, dude. That's a great way. I mean, that's a great way to describe them anyway.
Yeah. And like, you know, other Lou Reed songs, like if I hear Wild Child, I'm listening to it and I feel like I'm sitting in the back of a cab driving through Lower Manhattan. Like it just has that New York feel, and rock and roll has that same feel to it.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of those bands too, and Lou Reed as well, that I was kind of late to the party. And I think we talked about this before we sat down to record, but my exposure to that song was Jane's Addiction does an amazing cover of Rock and Roll. It's on their first album. It's a live record. And yeah, I didn't know it was a cover song. So when I first heard it, I was like, oh, this is a really cool song. It's really quirky and odd, but super, super cool. And then yeah, shortly after, I was like, oh shit, this is a cover.
Yeah.
And then that kind of turned me on to, you know, Velvet Underground and Lou Reed. So I kind of went backwards, you know. Yep. But again, that's the great thing about music and you know, cover songs and, you know, people's influences, and you know, it turns you on. You might be a big fan of a band and you don't even know this other band until they cover it, and it turns you onto this whole new thing. And yeah, it's great.
Or even a sample in a hip hop song.
Oh,
you hear a sample and you fall in love and go, oh, I got to research that. And then you find the original song, you fall in love with that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good stuff.
Another rock and roll, Led Zeppelin, of course.
Oh, yeah, dude.
1971 from Led Zeppelin 4. That drum intro, just Bonham, just beating the shit out of the drums like he did, man.
Yeah.
I just love that song. Everyone loves that song. And the song that turned me on to Zeppelin when the first time I heard it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That was the one. And then a third rock and roll, Gary Glitter.
Oh, yeah, dude.
1972 album, Glitter.
And I mean, you can't talk about rock and roll by Gary Glitter and not talk about sporting events.
Right.
You don't think you know the song? You've heard it a million times. If you don't know what we're talking about, trust me. If you've been to a sporting event, baseball, hockey, football, basketball, squash, I don't know. They play it at every they play it at every sporting event all the time. So yeah.
Hey.
You know the song. Yep. Yeah, Gary Glitter.
But we won't get any details on Mr. Glitter himself. We're going to pass.
I was wondering, I'm like, do we just dance around that? Yeah. Kind of a creep. Yeah. Kind of a creep, but we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we're not going to. Yeah.
We'll separate the art from the artist for a moment and just say, look, it was a huge, you can't deny, it was a huge song.
It was a huge song, yeah.
again, it still gets played at sporting events, and you know his legacy is certainly tarnished. Mm. But that song, man, as long as there's live sports, that song will live on
for sure, man. NFL Week One is here, and a new season means new ways to get into the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Ready to place your first bet? Try betting on something simple like picking a player to score a touchdown. Ready to do a touchdown dance of your own?
Score big with DraftKings Sportsbook, the best place to bet touchdowns. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code COMBINE. That's code COMBINE for new customers to get $250 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. And get 1 month of NFL Plus Premium on us, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly.
On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in New Hampshire, Oregon, and Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ftball. NFL Plus Premium offer available only to new and former NFL Plus subscribers. Additional NFL Plus Premium terms at nfl.com/terms. All right, so we got another threefer right here. song title is Photograph, and we're going to start with Ringo Starr, 1973, off the album Ringo. One of my favorite Ringo songs. I love this song.
Yeah.
Super catchy. And there's something about Ringo's vocals that I've always been drawn to. I can't put my finger on it.
He has he's by no means like this amazing virtuoso singer by any stretch, but he has a voice that's just easy to listen to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, he sounds like an old friend, you know, when he's singing. You're like, it's familiar. It makes you happy. It makes you smile. Nobody's going to put him in the same category as a Robert Plant or, a Mary J. Blige or anybody like that, you know, but just, he's got an easy voice to listen to, and it just makes you smile. He sounds like he's having a blast. Everything he sings.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds like every song, everything he does, he's having a good time.
Yeah. 100%.
You just want to be there with him, kind of enjoying the party.
Yeah. I bet he's a blast to hang out with.
Oh, peace and love. Peace and love.
Peace and love. He's the best.
Move on to 1983. A little band called Def Leppard had a huge hit with Photograph.
Oh my God.
Off the album Pyromania. That was monster. I remember getting that album. I remember playing it until it couldn't be played anymore.
That was one of those albums. I listened to a lot of cassettes back then.
Yep.
And I definitely bought at least two or three copies of that because I'd wear them out.
Yep.
They would start sounding like shit because you played them so much. Mm-hmm. And the tape would start stretching.
Yep.
Or you'd get eaten by your car stereo. But, oh my God. Yeah, that album. That's hands down my favorite Def Leppard album too. And they had a string of good records, don't get me wrong, but Pyromania is just, it was the perfect blend of pop sensibility in like hard rock, you know, and metal come together. Van Halen was doing that in their own way too, but Def Leppard did it so well. And again, they were like cute and they were made for MTV. I mean, my God, they were, they were the whole deal. So that album is amazing, man.
And they still had they had a little bit of that new wave of British heavy metal. They had a little bit of that sound.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a great, great album. Love it.
Yeah.
And then Ed Sheeran had a big hit with Photograph.
Yeah.
2014 album X.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've seen Ed Sheeran 3 times.
Get out of here.
Really? I know. Isn't that amazing, dude? Yeah.
Really?
So the first time, yeah. And it's just funny, man. I never disliked Ed Sheeran, but I was, it was just sort of there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's cool, whatever. But friends and my wife are big fans, love him. So everybody was going to the show. I'm like, yeah, okay. Oh, what the hell? I'll go see anything live.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was hooked. After seeing him live, I was like, holy shit. Like, he is insanely talented, dude.
Oh my
God. And to see him perform, the vast majority of his show, he does have some touring musicians that come out for key songs, but the majority of his show, dude, is just him with like a loop pedal and his acoustic guitar. And he just, he'll strum and, play, these percussive beats on his acoustic and loop it with a foot pedal. And he just makes up songs on the fly. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to watch. Anyway,
that dude is,
shout out to Ed Sheeran, man.
Super talented, like just ridiculous.
Insanely.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I had no idea you'd actually seen him 3 times. Like,
Yeah. I think it's three now. I mean, I went to freaking Minnesota to see him. It was a trip. It was part of a trip. I mean, we didn't just go to see Ed Sheeran. But yeah, I mean, I saw him in Minnesota, for Christ's sake.
See, again, I've mentioned this before on a different episode, but we've known each other forever.
Yeah.
But I'm still learning things about you.
Yeah, it's funny, man. Like, it's not like I drive around in my car, like, listening to Ed Sheeran. But, like, yeah, if anybody ever is like, oh, hey, dude, Ed Sheeran's coming, I'll be like, yeah, dude, I'll go. He's that good. It's fun to watch. And again, like, we were talking about, like, Ringo Starr. Like, dude, he has a blast doing what he does. Like, he doesn't phone anything in, man. He's genuinely enjoying what he's doing. And I don't know. There's just something about that cat that's, man, he's the real deal. He's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Wildly talented.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I go see Slipknot one night, and then I go see Ed Sheeran the next. So.
It's all good, man. This is what this is all about.
Absolutely. Greatest
mixtape podcast.
Hell yeah.
All right, Eric, let's wrap things up here. Just going to do quick shout outs. Just want to thank everybody who has been listening and new listeners coming on board. It means so much to us to know that people enjoy listening to us and they keep coming back to hear more. So for a couple of guys that just started this podcast a year ago,
That's so crazy.
Means the world to us.
Yeah, yeah. And I live for my reports from Mac, where he's like, hey, we got a listener from, you know, such and such town in Montana or whatever, you know, where I love it. It's a lot of fun. And to think that, you know, again, just a couple of idiots with microphones that love music, and it strikes a chord with some people. And I just, man, I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So thank you all.
It means everything to us. So yeah. Yeah, thanks. Thanks to everybody out there, and one shout out to a friend of mine and my wife. Her name's Tiffany, and she is a big fan of the podcast. Been listening to all the episodes, and shout out to Tiffany's mom too. For when my daughter was real little, she used to knit things for my daughter, and you know, like winter hats and scarves.
Oh, that's
and it was
great.
Always super cool. So, Tiffany, thanks. Thanks for listening, and happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, happy birthday, Tiffany. Thank you. And Tiffany's mom as well. Thank you.
Don't forget to follow us on the socials. We are on Instagram, Threads, and Facebook. Whatever streaming platform you listen, rate, review, subscribe, follow, you name it. Do it for us, please. We'd love it.
Absolutely. And hit us with emails, man. We love listener feedback.
TheGreatestMixtapePodcast@gmail.com.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks again so much for hanging out and listening to us babble. We'll be back soon with another episode. So until then, I'm Eric.
And I'm Mac.
And this is The Greatest Mixtape Podcast. Thanks again.
Yeah.